You are listening to Dateline Washington on the Radio America Network. I'm Greg Corumbus. Thanks for being with us. My next guest in this edition is Joe Antos. He's the Wilson H. Taylor Scholar in Healthcare and Retirement Policy at the American Enterprise Institute here in Washington. We want to get his thoughts now, being a longtime expert on healthcare policy and in government, as we look forward to the Obama presentation of healthcare reform. And Joe, thanks so much for being with us.
You're welcome. I'm glad to be here.
First of all, we should point out that you also serve as a health advisor to the Congressional Budget Office, and they've been running a lot of numbers lately. What kind of numbers do you suspect will be necessary for the type of reform that this president's most likely looking at?
Oh, we're talking big, big bucks. The president's budget that was released recently talked about something in excess of $600 billion over the next 10 years. And even that document said that that is merely a down payment. We could easily be talking double that money. We could easily be talking $1 trillion over the next 10 years, and it might be even more.
Joe, as I mentioned, you've served in various administrations looking at health care policy. How urgent do you believe this issue is, especially with so many other concerns, especially the economy going on right now? And secondly, what's the smartest approach?
Well, those are two easy questions. there's no doubt that we have a problem and that it's a serious problem. If we weren't undergoing the deep recession that we're now in, there's no doubt that we would be and we should be working on this health problem. But that doesn't mean that if by some miraculous political stroke that Congress and the president push through some sweeping government reform that brings in a lot of people into some kind of heavily subsidized insurance, that is not the automatic solution to our economic problems, in spite of what the advocates seem to believe. These are really two separate events we're talking about. The recession is a big, big problem. Everybody knows it. But healthcare reform is a problem that requires more money, at least initially, and it's hard to see where we're going to get that money.
In addition to the costs of reforming the system, and especially if there is expanded government control, which it appears that it will under this particular version, there's also the fact that the healthcare system is deeply in the red in another way, and that's, of course, with respect to the Medicare program. How does that affect our whole system if this sort of expansion occurs without seriously reforming Medicare?
Well, you just can't do it. Politicians didn't want to say the M word, Medicare, during the recent election, because that would get the seniors groups riled up, AARP in particular, and AARP is a very powerful political voice. But the ugly truth is that we do have to address the entitlement issues, Medicare and Medicaid. They do drive the system. It's not that the system drives Medicare and Medicaid. It's all part of one big fabric, but you can't ignore Medicare and Medicaid. And we're going to have to deal with the incredible overspending and overpromising that Medicare in particular poses for seniors and imposes on our kids and our grandchildren.
In terms of what works, you've obviously studied this for a long time. You've been in various administrations. You've served in government under both different parties. But over the many years that you've been able to study this issue, what do you see as consistently being an effective approach to improving healthcare?
Well, I think there are a couple of keys to all of this. The most important one, which every American outside of the Washington Beltway knows, is that you can't get something for nothing. Now, this is largely unknown concept in Congress, but the average person realizes that if you're going to give somebody health insurance, that somebody else is going to have to pay for it. And all of the rhetoric is, of course, going in the opposite direction. So that's the first principle. The second principle is that we really have to open the system up to real competition, not the fake competition that we have now in the health system. And we need to get consumers, and we need to get their physicians, their healthcare providers in on the act. They have responsibility to themselves and to the country to do the right things, but they also have a very valid opinion about how healthcare ought to be practiced. And ultimately, for all this talk about money and insurance and so on, ultimately the question at the end of the day is, are we going to have a system where people can access appropriate care and have enough knowledge and enough guidance from their physician so that they make good choices?
Joe, when it comes to a variety of the problems this country faces right now, but especially the economy, it seems as though big business, also in terms of energy with oil and natural gas companies, the private sector seems to be taking a lot of shots right now. So with healthcare reform now on the agenda, do you expect those in favor of the Obama approach to kind of make the argument against the private sector by saying, look what happened over here when we let them do too much and so we can't let them do it again?
Yeah, absolutely. They've been saying it all along. You know, the word profit appears to be a dirty word. Not in any other industry, but in healthcare, profit is not something that seems to be politically acceptable in some circles. You know, the fact is that the private sector does have a lot to answer for here. Insurance plans have done some good things, but they haven't always stepped up to the bar to push as hard as they can. Employers are a big factor in this as well. Employers pay for a lot of health insurance, and yet they've been unwilling to take the firm steps and to ask the insurers to take the firm steps that would be necessary to both bring unnecessary spending down and bring the consumer in a big, big way. That's beginning to change, but we haven't had the great successes that we want. So absolutely, the Democrats are talking about putting in a federal insurance program for people under 65. They argue that the Medicare program has been very successful at controlling costs. Now, you might ask yourself, how can that be? We're concerned about Medicare's rising costs, and we're concerned about the healthcare system's rising costs. If Medicare was so successful, surely one of those statements wouldn't be an issue, but they both are. But they're arguing that somehow Medicare has been successful at controlling costs, and so by creating a federal program for under 65, that somehow that's going to be the solution. I don't see it. I think it's going to proliferate the problem that we already have.
Joe, unfortunately, that'll have to be the last word. Thank you, sir, very much for your time today.
Thank you very much.
Joe Antos is the Wilson H. Taylor Scholar in Healthcare and Retirement Policy at the American Enterprise Institute. He's also a health advisor to the Congressional Budget Office. This is Dateline Washington.